Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know from our hearts to yours that we are truly glad that you're here. And we hope that any time that you're able to come and worship with us in spirit and truth, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us remember to keep the main thing, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Loving one another as Christ has commanded us to do, having a zeal and a desire for his word, a thirst for the knowledge of the word of God, and having a mind to work, being busy about our Father's business. And no matter what, through the ups and downs, know that Jesus loves you, and so do I, and there is nothing you can do about that. Looking at this particular scripture text in Ezekiel chapter 14, you can see that God's people had committed a great evil. And that great evil that they had committed was they had set their hearts on idols. The picture on the screen is suggestive of the golden calf worship of Israel. And just as they worship the idol, so we can establish many idols in our hearts. And simply, idols draw us away from simply serving God in a manner in which is pleasing unto him. A need for us to understand, one does not need to be bowed down before an idol or some image to worship an idol in his heart. And we understand that the Bible heart is not the same heart that pumps blood, but that part in which man believes and reasons. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life." In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." So we're talking about the part of the heart that believes and reasons. So the question you may have for me this morning, if you don't know, well, then what is an idol? So that I can be clear on what it is that I need to stay clear from. Well, an idol is an image or a representation of a deity, which is made and used as an object of worship. And an idol may also be an object of passion. It can also mean anything that we place above God in worth. So simply, almost anything can become an idol to us if we're not careful. Which brings me to my first point this morning. For many, possessions can become an idol. And what does that mean? It simply means is the need of having more possessions. And we need to understand that we do not need to have a lot of possessions to make an idol out of them. And many who do not have much, though, it's funny, they seem to be willing to do whatever it takes to acquire more possessions. As a matter of fact, it is all that they think about. Listen, we're at that time of year where you know, the Black Friday and all the sales, and people stand outside in lines in order to get flat screen TVs or whatever it is that they require, and they lose their minds because all they can think about is how many more possessions can they have. That is all that they think about. But I want you to understand that owning a little or a lot is not the key. That's not the key. Whether you have a lot or a little, it is the thoughts towards the possessions that are wrong. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, the infallible word of God says, "And he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Life is not measured by what we possess. Neither is our faithfulness to the Lord. And where I'm going with this is that there are people who are motivated for the wrong reasons to be faithful unto God. You'll be amazed that there are people who buy into this prosperity ministry that if I do all these things or if I say in my heart or confess with my mouth that I'm serving the Lord, but I'm really not, I can receive these possessions. Over in Mark chapter 10, looking at verses 17 through 23, is a great reminder that life is not measured by what we possess. In Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17, the infallible word of God says this, "And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Well, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing.' He says, 'Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me.' And disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Let me tell you something, saints. Possessions can keep us out of heaven. You may ask yourself, well, what do you mean? Well, I'm simply saying we may do excellent in many areas, and yet if we have the idol of possession in our heart, we will miss heaven. Notice what Paul says about true wealth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 10, he says, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything." Beloved, true wealth is not in what we possess physically. True wealth is what we possess spiritually. And for many, they will miss heaven because of it. A second one is for my young people. And I really want you to pay attention to this. And some of my adults as well. For many, popularity becomes an idol. You know, many have sold their souls for popularity. Many parents have sold their children's souls for popularity. We've seen it time and time again with child stars and all the troubles that they have as they grow up in front of the camera and all the things that go along with them. But I want you to know that popularity for many costs too great of a price. Over in John chapter 12, looking at verses 42 and 43, that's John chapter 12, the infallible word of God says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." Now listen, there are many verses that I could look at and say, man, that's a sad verse there, or that's a sad verse. But when I look at these are two of the saddest verses to me in the Bible. "For they love the glory that comes from man rather than the glory that comes from God." You know, they want the popularity, but with that popularity, one cannot obey God because they put the popularity first. In John chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, he says, "I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away, to remind you. They will put you out of the synagogues. And indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." I will say this, serving God can cause us to be unpopular. Now, I know that it is the thing today to be popular with all the especially my young people, with all the TikToks and all the Instagram posts and all the Facebook stuff that or doing the challenges that come along with it, because there are so many kids have seen so many people that just do irrelevant things and become successful as a result of it. I want to encourage my young people today. I'm not by any means saying that you can't be on TikTok, that you can't do some fun things that are involved. But when that takes precedence over the relationship that you need to be having and seeking with our Savior, that's a problem. See, instead of you being on TikTok, you need to be on your knees, praying to God. Instead of being on Facebook, you need to be opening up the book and the Word of God. Instead of challenging and doing challenges with people, you ought to challenge yourself to be a faithful Christian and share the gospel truth with every person that you can. And if you ever going to post something, it doesn't have to be negative or repost something. Let it be something that is encouraging to people, letting them know that the popularity that you are seeking is one that is serving God. Never be ashamed of the gospel. I know it's tough when you're the peculiar looking man or woman that's doing the right thing and not going along with the crowd. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So my young people, when you go back to school and everybody is doing the happening thing, you let them know that popularity is not something that you care that much about if it does not involve you putting your Father on display. Another one is when many possessions become an idol. Position becomes an idol. Some think that position is more important than God. Here's an important aspect for the elders to hear, for the deacons to hear, for the preacher to hear. In Galatians chapter 2, we talked about this on Wednesday, 11 through 13. It says, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party and the rest of the Jews, acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy." See, even an apostle can fall into this temptation about position. My position is so important that I'm not willing to do what I need to do to help others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." We can't allow the position or an office in which we hold to take precedence and be more important than the will of God. And listen, these Jewish leaders love their position more than they love the truth. I want you to think about that. They love their position more than they love the truth. And the sad thing is there are many like this in the church today, where they love their position more than doing the will and the word of God. Men not willing to step down when they know that they're no longer qualified, or stepping into a position that they're not qualified for, telling people the wrong thing, leading them astray, but they care more about the position than pushing the agenda of God. Another one that is important that we need to make sure that we stand clear of is many recreational things become an idol to us. And this seems to be the new religion today in the church, where recreation is the key. Serve me first and God second is the attitude of many. Let's make it a party, right? I think that is the attitude of so many. Let's just make it a party. And you know what comes to mind? Exodus chapter 32. But I specifically want to look at verse 6 when it says, "And they rose up early and the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. All some want to do is rise up and play. More care about fun and games than the Lord." More care about what we can do to have fun than being obedient to the will and the word of God. So much so that they try to bring fun and games into the church, because the fun and games is necessary in order to win people. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Not many days later, a younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into the far country. and there he squandered his property in reckless living. There are many among us who are living recklessly because all they want to do is have fun. I think that was a song by Cyndi Lauper. Boys, they just want to have fun. The prodigal son carried fun and games to the extreme. This will happen to many when recreation becomes an idol to them. We have to be very, very careful about this. And again, the graven image that may be up or a golden calf that may be up or whatever it may be doesn't necessarily mean that this is what idol worship looks like. For many, their career becomes an idol. Sure, our careers are important. Sure, we should be taken seriously. But there is something beyond this. There is something beyond your career. In Luke chapter 14, remember, 16 through 19, and he said to them, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. Luke 14, in verse 17. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a field and I must go and see to it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. There are some things that are more important than their job and your business. There are some things that are more important than our careers. Maybe we will do well to remember Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34, about not being anxious about anything. See, if we seek first the kingdom in our lives, everything else will be added. But there are many who take their careers and put them before God. One that I have to deal with that put a little stress on me is that fitness can become an idol. Physical fitness is God-approved. It's a God-approved attribute, but there is something that's even more important. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, the infallible word of God says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for life to come. I was speaking with my brother today, and he said, I asked him, did he have a great Thanksgiving? He said, yeah, can't you tell? And he showed me his stomach. And I, you know, and I laugh and I say, well, you know, but if you work out, all of the food that you eat will go into the right places. He said, well, I'm too old to work out. Well, I said, I got something even better. So instead of us concentrating on working on the physical, we must exercise ourselves unto godliness. If you want to exercise something, if you want to make something stronger, let it be your faith. If you want to be healthy and have some stamina, let it be in your walk with Christ. If you want to max out in everything, when you want to do the maximum amount that you can do, then maybe you ought to get with us in a jail study. Maybe you ought to go out and seek and save the lost and see how strong you truly are in the faith. It is true that physical exercise is profitable, but it is not as profitable as godliness. I had to check myself on that one. You know, you try to stay healthy, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I would rather be healthy spiritually than weak spiritually. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we can't live by bread alone. Neither can we exercise alone. There's something that is more needful than lifting weights. And that is the word of God. And last but not least, many desires can become an idol. What do you mean by that? Well, man never ceases to desire the things that he sees. We all know that we deal with that on a daily basis. In Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, It says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The lust of the flesh fulfills desires. And these fleshly desires are idols too. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, for the time is coming where people will not endure sound teaching. That's where we are today. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion. One of the second things that I thought was a sad verse was in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas, in love with this present world, walked away from the faith because of the passions and the lust of the eye and the flesh. Listen, because of personal lust, men then and now look for teachers to approve their behavior. They look for people who will side with them in their unwillingness to follow the Lord. And I think too many care for their own desires more than the desires of God. I want you to think about that, though. How much more do you care about the desires of God than you do the desires of yourself? And when you think about that, what are you willing to do to achieve that? I think that it's important for us to remember to put God first in all that we do. I believe that setting up idols in the heart is just as serious as setting up a physical idol of wood, of gold, brass, or precious metal. Idolatry is still one of the things that God despises. And I know, again, that we get so caught up in thinking about you bowing before a calf or a Buddha or some type of image. Oh, no, there are so many different idols that we can worship and that we can put before God. And we still have to be careful. But what I would say is when tempted, we do have a great weapon that we can use to fight Satan. And I know it's tried, and I know that it's true. And the reason that I know it is true because the Lord used himself to combat temptation. In Matthew 4:10, and Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. If you don't believe me and you're having some difficulties in this area, just try it. I promise you it works. I promise you that if you put God first, you pray to him and you give yourself over to him, he will help you in every way overcome any obstacle that the devil has put in your way. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, and yet you may have been struggling with some of these things, maybe it hadn't even been brought to your attention. Maybe you haven't even realized it. Maybe you hadn't even thought about it in that perspective. But know that many things can become an idol and many things we can put before God. But know that he despises this. And if you're having trouble in that area and you need prayers of the church, make that known. Come forward so that we can pray for you and that we can help you in the areas in which you're struggling with. And if you're not a Christian, you want to be in Christ so that you can receive the gift of salvation. Understanding the gift of grace that he's giving you in order to give you this opportunity, this day, to change your life for eternity. If you are subject to the invitation and you have a need this morning, please come now as together we stand and sing.